Plutus Sports Analytics is a company based on minimizing the uncertainty in sports betting to help you maximize your profit. Newfoundland's first sports analytics team provides daily predictions for all major league sports so you can win big. Whether you want to hit MLB picks out of the park or get a slam dunk on your NBA betting tickets, Plutus is a company of choice. Head to PlutusSportsAnalytics.com. That is P-L-U-T-U-S SportsAnalytics.com. Use code JSP10 for 10% off their deadly service. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JSP with Podcast. This is episode number 179, dedicated to a team who on March 9th, 1997, won the 44th ACC Men's Basketball Tournament. North Carolina beat the NC State Wolfpack 64-54. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we talk a little bit about Blake Griffin joining the Brooklyn Nets. Fox backed up the Brinks truck to Skip's house and said, "Hey, Skip, this is for you." And my man Mike Conley finally got to play in the NBA All-Star game. But first, if you're a person out there that loves the NCAA tournament and you thoroughly enjoy filling out a bracket and trying to see how many picks you get correct in this year's tournament, you love competing not just with previous years with yourself, but also with your friends and family as well. Well, guys, the podcast has a bracket pool for you to enter. Go to the ESPN Tournament Challenge app and search J. Stevens Podcast. There is no password needed. Go ahead, put your name into the pool. You'll be able to fill out your bracket on Sunday afternoon going into the evening once the bracket is revealed. There will be a prize for the person and the winner. That person that gets the most picks correct, that prize will be announced at a later date. Also, in a couple days from now, before Selection Sunday on this coming Thursday, we'll be airing my interview with Charlie Ward, former NBA player, former Heisman Trophy winner as well. Had the privilege of interviewing him a few weeks ago and wanted to save that interview for this point in time. From the time it was announced that Juwan Howard would be the next head coach at the University of Michigan, people started just saying things that didn't make any sense. Juwan Howard's never coached a team before at any level. How is he going to know how to be a head coach in college basketball? How is he going to know how to recruit? He's never recruited before. How is he going to know how to connect with these 18 to 22 young men? How is he going to be able to go into a young man's home, sit on their couch, and talk to mom, talk to dad, talk to an uncle or an aunt or maybe grandma or grandpa and tell them and sell them on the program? How is he going to do that? Yes, he played there. He was a member of the Fab Five, but that was years ago, decades ago. Forget the past. This is the present. And from what I have seen from Juwan Howard, he has shown me nothing that shows me that I should believe in him to lead this team. And I am sure, not having talked to Juwan Howard before in my life, but I am sure as Juwan Howard read and heard some of these things that people are saying about him right now, about his team right now, he had to keep a tunnel vision, keep his head focused. He understands. He knows what John Beilein meant to the program. He knows what John Beilein meant as a basketball coach. He understands that John Beilein was very, very, very close to winning a national championship in the past few years, probably 3 or 4 years prior to John Beilein and the University of Michigan mutually parting ways. You could say he got fired. You could say that they just mutually parted ways. Whatever you want to say, they parted ways, and I believe that was the official announcement when John Beilein was no longer going to be the head basketball coach at the University of Michigan. Go back to the national championship game that he was really close to winning. Think about it. With everything that Luke Hancock did in that game, hitting all of those threes, there was one fast break. Trey Burke Peyton Silva. Peyton Silva goes up. Trey Burke goes up. I thought it was a clean block. I've seen the picture and replay numerous times. I still thought that was a clean block. The referee calls a foul. Trey Burke was upset. That was a pivotal point in that game. And ultimately, the Louisville Cardinals won the national championship that year. Juwan Howard knows what Michigan basketball is about. Juwan Howard knows what he did when he was there, knows what the Fab Five meant, not just to that university in that town in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but also what it meant to college basketball as well. He also knows what kind of team he has, and he knows that this team could be very, very good. And I've seen clips. I've also seen some articles lately resurface of, you said this, you said that. Yeah, Juwan Howard probably used it as motivation. And these players bought in to everything that he is preaching. A long COVID pause that was induced not by positive cases, but by the University of Michigan and some things that were going on there. All athletics were paused for, I believe, a 2 or 3 week span. University of Michigan finished the regular season 19-3 overall, 14-3 in conference, in Big Ten, a conference that was a gauntlet, you may want to say at times, because no matter who you're playing, if you didn't play your best ball, you might end up losing. 14-3. At the end of the day, the Michigan Wolverines are the winners of the Big Ten regular season crown. Yes, Illinois may do whatever they want, but Michigan knows we won this fair and square. And if I'm Juwan Howard, I'm using those people, I call them boo birds, as a motivation. You can say whatever you want about me prior to taking this job and taking over at this position, but at the same time, I'm doing something special here. We're building something special here. Get on the train. Get right behind me. Let's keep moving forward. A Big Ten regular season title, that's just a check mark on the accomplishments that these young men have. They have bigger sights in mind. The next challenge, win the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Can they do it? Yes. Will it be hard? Yes. And I do think Juwan Howard is up to the task of preaching to these young men that, hey, no matter what people say, we can win this title as well. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Brooklyn once again because, man, Blake Griffin, he's done in Detroit and he has found a new home. One of the honest announcements that I have heard this NBA season is that a team is going to bench a player, and then while he is benched, they're going to try to figure out what the best move for said player is. To me, that's very odd. If you have a player who can be a good asset or a good piece to your team, why not play him and still figure out the solution at the same time? But Blake Griffin went to the organization. They said, okay, cool. We can mutually agree to bench you. But what I did not expect when that announcement came down was for Blake Griffin to have a buyout come quickly and then for him to find a new home very quickly as well. Blake Griffin to the Brooklyn Nets. Was it surprising? Not really. Did it come quickly? Absolutely. February 15th was the very last game that Blake Griffin played for the Detroit Pistons. The 10-26 Detroit Pistons. The team that Blake Griffin this year only played 20 games. He's averaging only 12 points a game. I believe 5 rebounds as well. Nothing very hot. Nothing that the old Blake Griffin would have been. If you would have said that about Blake Griffin 5 years ago, you would have been saying, yeah, right. Not Blake Griffin. Not the guy that I watch play every single night. He's not putting up those numbers. And that's what you think, even a couple years ago. I believe in his first or second year in Detroit, he was averaging, 23, 24 points a game. The drop-off, the fall-off from 24, I believe, to 15, to even 12 points a game averaging this year. It's not something that was expected. Now, mentally, we all know that there are some times that people, we're human, we will not play our best in hopes to get out, to get to somewhere we want to be. It's human nature. It's things that are going to happen. But I don't think that anybody thought that at any point in time, no matter how Blake Griffin was playing, that the two sides, Blake Griffin and the organization of the Detroit Pistons, would come to an agreement and say, look, we'll help you. We'll help you get out of here. We don't know if we want to trade you. We don't know if we're going to buy you out and just ship you and make you a free agent. We don't know. But we'll help you. You don't have to help us win any basketball games either. You can rest your body. You can recover. You can stay home. Do whatever you want. We don't want it. We'll help you rest your body. You ain't got to help us. That's a weird trade-off, isn't it? A player that can help you win games, not playing the best basketball of his career, but a player that can help you win games. Yes, he has fallen off, but he can still help the Detroit Pistons win some basketball games. You're comfortable saying, hey, Blake, we know how you play the basketball. We know what we have seen this year. We know how you are as a basketball player. We want to help you, but you ain't got to help us at the same time. That's very odd to me. I'm not an executive. I'm not a GM, but I know if I have a player, if I have a player that can help me win basketball games, and we're not a very good team right now, I'm going to play him. Hey, the guys above, hey, if I'm the GM, okay, cool. Hey, coach, you play him. You ain't going to bench him. No, we need that guy. We're going to play him right now. Okay, cool, we're going to play him. So, man up top, I'm the head coach now, switching hats. Okay, man up top, general manager, what are we going to do about him? He doesn't want to be here. Oh, I got a solution. We'll figure out a solution for him, but as it stands right now, he's a part of our organization. He's a part of our team. We're going to utilize him on the basketball court and make sure he helps put us in the right spot to win the basketball games. That's what was surprising to me, because I never thought in my life we would see all these players say, oh, okay, cool. I ain't going to hold out. Well, you're comfortable with me not playing, and you want to help me get out of here? Hey, it's a win-win for me, the player. For the organization, is it a win-win? Maybe in the long term, not in the short term or the immediate, because that guy is not on the court. February 15th, Blake Griffin plays his last game in Detroit. March the 5th. The buyout comes. Blake Griffin ends up leaving money on the table there because he now goes and gets signed by the Brooklyn Nets just 3 days later. Let's run through that sequence of events once again. Blake Griffin plays his final game in Detroit on the 15th of February, right after Valentine's Day. What a weird time for that to happen. Oh, Blake Griffin, you may have a significant young lady you're with, and you have gone out on Valentine's Day, and all of a sudden we're going to help you out as well, so you can win on the 14th. You can win on the 15th, because you ain't got to play for this basketball team no more. The buyout comes on the 5th of March, 3 days later. I was thinking of a song 3 days later, a song I heard in church one time. I was at a conference, and the place came unglued. I was like, oh, man, okay, I remember that song. I was in Virginia. All those guys there at that church, they were going crazy because they loved this song. That's why the little pause came at that point in time. But it's not the signing that Blake Griffin of him being on a new team. It's where he went and the one reason that he went there. To get a ring in Brooklyn. You got Kyrie. You got KD. You got James Harden, and now you got Blake Griffin. 4 or 5 years ago, I would have been all four. I'm not saying this isn't a bad move for Blake Griffin at all. I think it's a good move if you're trying to go chase for a ring. But 4 or 5 years ago, I think Blake Griffin with those guys, hey man, look, if you can get any of them on the low, which I know they're all going to demand top dollar at that time 4 or 5 years ago, but if you can get any of them to say, hey, look, I will take some less money. I will get some more endorsements. Hey, State Farm, I need some more money. Whatever commercial you're doing at that time, hey, pay me more here. I'll take less with the team because I want to get a ring. And that's kind of where my thought process was 4 or 5 years ago. This is crazy. How do I think this is going to go right now? I don't know. I have seen people on the Twitter that have been saying, I'm tired of this ring chasing mentality, this ring chasing era. I am tired of it. I don't like it. It doesn't make any sense to me. You can go back to the 90s. What did Scottie Pippen do when he left Chicago after that 97-98 season where he was very disgruntled? Watch The Last Dance. If you haven't watched that, they document this very, very well, the way that Scottie Pippen felt at the end of his tenure there with the Chicago Bulls. Scottie Pippen, he went from Chicago to Houston. Why did I pinpoint Scottie Pippen? He was just the first name that popped into my head. Scottie went from winning 6 rings in Chicago and said, hey, I can play some more. How about we try to win another one? Houston Rockets, they have an older Charles Barkley. They have an older Hakeem Olajuwon. They have an older Scottie Pippen. You would look at some of those pictures from that year that they were together. They look old. Ultimately, I do believe that year they got to the Western Conference Finals against the Jazz, did not win that series. Lo and behold, what happened right after that? Scottie Pippen, Portland Trailblazers, a battle there? And who is he facing in the playoff? His old coach, Phil Jackson, against two? A guy named Kobe Bryant, who is very similar, not as good, but very similar to his former teammate, Michael Jordan. Who do they have? Shaquille O'Neal. Some might say he was the most dominant. I will say it. He was the most dominant basketball player at that time. So Scottie Pippen went from winning, having two three-peats, being the second player on two three-peats. All of a sudden, Scottie Pippen goes from the Bulls to the Rockets to Portland. And honestly, Portland honestly thought they get past the Lakers. They beat the Lakers, I believe it was a Game 7. They're going to the NBA Finals. Well, they're going to get to, if they win a Game 7, you're going to go to the NBA Finals. And they believe they had a really good shot at winning the NBA Finals that year. So he will not play Griffin now. It's just more often now. It's more prevalent now because the organizations, these players, have found ways to get their way. In the NFL, we're not going to document this very well, but Dak Prescott, he knew he wasn't going anywhere because of the money he demanded there in Dallas. Now, not the ring chasing that I'm talking about with Blake Griffin, but at the same time, Dak knew he could somewhat wait a little bit and still get the money that he wanted, kind of controlling the situation. J.J. Watt, NFL, didn't want to be there in Houston anymore. Houston can cut him, and it was a deal that cutting him would not hurt them very much in regards to the salary cap. So be it. J.J. Watt knew what he could do, knew his leverage, and made it happen. The players in the NFL are doing somewhat of what players in the NBA are doing and trying to find a way to have all the power. NBA players know that they have a lot of power. Some say more power than they have ever had before. Not even the top tier talent, but even your stars and your level right under the star. A lot of players in the NBA have a lot of power. And Blake Griffin knew that. Blake Griffin knew that he wasn't going to be in Detroit that much longer. Did he know when it was going to be during the season he would be let go, or if would it be after the season? I don't know. But you can look at Blake Griffin's play. You can look at Blake Griffin's body language and say, Blake, I don't know, buddy. It sure seems like you don't want to be in Detroit anymore. Well, Blake, you're not in Detroit anymore. You got benched. I'll say it. You got benched. You got your buyout. And now you're in Brooklyn. And now we have to wait and see. As Brooklyn takes the court, Blake Griffin hopefully takes the court the first time with the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday night, 7:30 on TNT, at home against the Boston Celtics, the 19-17 Boston Celtics. Hey, we got a lot more basketball to play. Hope you watched the All-Star game. It was somewhat entertaining. Dunk contest, not so much. Three-point contest, highly competitive down to the very last shot. A lot of basketball left, and I'm looking forward to seeing Blake Griffin play with Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. That man Skip got P-A-I-D paid, baby. That young man got all the money. Fox got that Brinks truck. They got the keys and said, hey, we need to steal this for a little bit. They started driving that thing. Instead of pulling into the driveway, they backed that thing going up. Got out, handed the keys to Skip and said, hey, Skip, this right here, yes, sir, all of this is for you. 4-year, $32 million contract to stay with Fox Sports. Now, that may be an added role. He may do an afternoon show there on Fox. But for right now, with Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless, and Jenny Taft right there on Undisputed, killing the game, killing it so much that they have the number two sports show on YouTube. Number one, the Pat McAfee Show with 54 million views and Undisputed is 42 million views. You got Pat McAfee headlining one. You got Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless headlining the other. I think this is well-deserved. I think Fox knows that losing Skip to ESPN, because ESPN was vying and trying to Skip Bayless back over to ESPN. Would he be on First Take? Would they get rid of Max Kellerman? Or would he have his own show? I don't know, but I do know they were trying. They were trying to get Skip to go from Fox to ESPN. And I know Skip talks all about Ernestine. And if Ernestine has any pull with where Skip works, Ernestine got a little taste of that LA lifestyle, that Cali living. And I understand. I know a little bit about women, and I know when a woman gets comfortable, and they got that comfortable weather, they got that good weather, they don't want to go back to Connecticut and live it up there. No. Now, granted, you could do the show from ESPN LA, the studio's there, and Ernestine would be happy. That would be negotiated via the contract. But if it's First Take with Stephen A, Stephen A's up there in Connecticut. He's up there living over there on the other side of the country. Yeah, I don't know if Skip wants to do a Zoom call or a Zoom show every single day. He could be right there in studio with Stephen A or Shannon Sharp, where he currently is, and do the show consistently. Now, you could also work in, hey, Stephen A, come across country, we want you over here. That all could be worked out. But ultimately, ESPN could not do what was needed to bring Skip back to Connecticut, to the worldwide leader. And Skip is there with Fox. And I think this is a phenomenal move for everyone involved. If I personally have a choice of watching First Take, or watching Undisputed, or watching another streamed sports talk radio show on TV at the same time, because you have First Take, you have Undisputed, you have the Dan Patrick Show. There are other shows that stream. I can even watch CBS Sports HQ or CBS Sports Network, or I can watch FS2, or I can watch an old game on YouTube. There are so many avenues of sports you can watch in the morning. I can watch a rerun of Get Up. I'm going to Undisputed. Get Up is getting better. It was my cup of tea for a while, and then I kind of got tired of that, so I got rid of it, and I wanted to go somewhere else to get my sports fix in the morning. Dan Patrick is a great go-to, but if I need just a good, hearty debate, I mean, two intelligent individuals, Shannon Sharp, well-spoken, Skip Bayless, well-spoken, two guys that do their homework and watch all the sports, and I love Shannon Sharp. I think this is a thing that he adds. Not just being an athlete, but something that he adds that, well, I don't know if Stephen A or Max do this. It's something that Shannon Sharp has done, and I've done this as well, because I think it's great to do if you're in the media or broadcasting space. Watching a game, turn the broadcast off, the volume that is, not the entire broadcast, turn the volume off. So all you're doing is you're tuning out and not listening to anything the broadcasters say. It's you, your eyeballs, watching the game without any interruptions, looking and seeing what's happening on the field. And Shannon Sharp does that all the time, especially in football games, basketball games too. He says, yes, I know Mike Green's good. I know Joe Buck is good. I know all these guys are good at their job, but I want to not allow somebody else's opinion interfere with my thoughts and me forming my own opinion. And those opinions, those thoughts come out all the time on Undisputed, which is why I think it's one of those shows, not just the number two sports show on YouTube, but I think a lot of people are learning that ESPN First Take thing. You may be tired of that. Yeah, Fox, FS1, that might be the route to go. They do a phenomenal job. But I think Skip Bayless, at his age, where he is, will he do an afternoon show that's possibly in the works? I don't know if it'll stick. I am not sure. But I am very, very, personally, I'm happy for two reasons. One, Skip staying at Fox. Fox has their man. Fox can continue building this brand of Undisputed. Because one thing First Take had to do is when Skip left, when Kerry Champion left, he had to try to fill the void, fill a hole with somebody, and start auditioning people to take over for that role. You can keep the same trio. Sharp, Bayless, Taft, and allow them to continue building what they've been building, doing it consistently at a very high level. But the other reason why I really like this could be a great thing for my man Pat McAfee. Remember I said he is the number one, he does have the number one sports show on YouTube. His show is also on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM, and his show is streamed live on YouTube. I don't think Undisputed is streamed live. I do know for sure that the Pat McAfee show is streamed live on the YouTube. Having Aaron Rodgers every single week during the NFL season on Tuesdays, an added plus. AJ Hawk there with him, an added plus. And I'm just trying to, if you guys don't like, if you haven't checked out the Pat McAfee show, I encourage you to do that. Not just because I personally like it. I think it's a different twist, and it's something that one more people figure out Pat McAfee is really good at this and not just some goofy punter that he was labeled as when he was in the National Football League. He's going to be a guy. He's on College Game Day occasionally for a reason. He is on Mad Dog Sports Radio for a reason. And Pat McAfee is making a name for himself. There's a good chance Skip getting this much money, $8 million a year, is great. But Pat, if he goes to ESPN and his whole show goes there, hey, that young man, hoo-hoo-wee, he could get the bag as well. Someone else, as we close out this show, he got the bag in Memphis, and now he's in Utah, finally made his first NBA All-Star game. That is Mike Conley. Go back to Mike Conley's days in Memphis, and I believe it was the 2011 or 2012 year when he led the Memphis Grizzlies to the Western Conference Finals. You can go back and look at Mike's numbers. Mike's numbers are not going to pop out at you and say, ooh, Mike, you are that dude, man. You are exactly what we have been looking for. You are the kind of star that we need here on our team. You're not going to see that with Mike Conley. His numbers are not going to pop out at you. He is not that kind of point guard. But when you look at Mike Conley and the kind of player, the kind of pro, the kind of individual that he is, Mike Conley deserves this nod. To date right now, Mike Conley is averaging 16.1 points a game, 3.5 rebounds a game, 5.7 assists a game on the best team in the NBA. Going into the season, I didn't expect this. Even when Cody Gwynn was with us a few weeks ago, he asked me and said, hey, Jay, who do you think has the best record? Who is the best team in the NBA? I automatically went with the Lakers. I had just been so used to them rolling, sometimes coasting, and I just kind of assumed, without looking at the record, that the Lakers had the very best record in the NBA. No, it wasn't the Lakers. It was and is the Utah Jazz, and Mike Conley is a big piece of that puzzle. Rudy Gobert, yeah, okay, he's there. There are other players there that are doing a phenomenal job. Donovan Mitchell in a post-game press conference, post-game interview, getting interviewed there by Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq said a little something, got a lot of heat for what he said. And Mike Conley has been there steady his entire career. Like I said, don't get fixated on his numbers. Mike Conley, 14.4 points a game last year. His last year in Memphis, 21 points a game, which is his career high. He's only averaged 20 points or over 20 points a game one other time. That was in 2016 where he averaged 20.5. Mike has just been consistently steady every single year. You need a guy that's going to be good on offense, a solid shooter, a solid defender, a solid guy that can be a coach on the court. That is Mike Conley. And I don't know if this was a lifetime achievement award that the NBA handed to him or the media or the coaches handed to Mike, but I believe, Mike Conley, you deserve this. You have earned this. This has been something that has been due to you and something that should have come a few years ago, but I'm glad in year 14, Mike Conley, you finally played in your very first All-Star game. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. Also, give the podcast a follow on the Twitter as well at JStevensPod. Go ahead and send all of those emails to me. Send them to JStevensPod@gmail.com. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for a new podcast to listen to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth. The things that we enjoy in life, we are almost willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode number one, be sure to let people know about the podcast. Guys, remember, before we close this show out, The podcast has a pool on ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Go ahead and search Jay Stevens Podcast. Enter your name, enter your pool, your bracket, and we'll see who has the best bracket here, all the listeners and myself on the podcast. A winner with the prize. The prize will be announced for the winner, that is, down the road at a later date. And then also, Charlie Ward interview airs on Thursday morning. There will be a video on YouTube. Subscribe to the Jay Stevens Podcast YouTube page. And also, it'll be audio for you